Hey, thanks for joining us. You're listening to Living Fountains with Pastor Jim Stewart of Calvary Chapel, Kansas City. Today, our study is in the book of Exodus. If you're in a place to grab your Bible and follow along with us, we invite you to do so. And if you'd like more information on Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, you can visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. Now, let's join Pastor Jim for today's study.
Why don't you turn with me to Numbers real quickly, chapter 21. Another situation that we'll get a little further light on in the New Testament in just a moment. But let's pick it up in verse 4 of chapter 21 of Numbers. Then they journeyed, this is the same group of people, they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the soul of the people became very discouraged on the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and our soul loathes this worthless bread. We are sick of this stinking manna. That's basically what they're saying. That's my paraphrase. Of course, you can add your 2 cents in there, but that's the way I see it. They're just sick of it. They're tired of eating the manna. They're complaining about the manna. They're complaining about the situation they're in. They got the whimies and the whinies. So, verse 6. So the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people. And they bit the people, and many of the people of Israel died. It just was, you know, they'd get bit by these serpents. You know, they're complaining and carrying on. Oh, poor us. We're just, you know, been left out here to die and complained about against God, complained against Moses. Therefore, the people came to Moses and says, we have sinned. So they come clean. This is good. For we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. So Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, shall live. So Moses made a bronze serpent and put it on a pole. And so it was, if a serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. John's Gospel, chapter 3. John's Gospel, chapter 3, verse 14. And as Moses, Jesus speaking here, and Jesus is in response to some of Nicodemus' questions, and he says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. All ties together. It all represents one thing. It's all pointing to one central theme, and that's the person of Jesus Christ. Isn't that great? Man, we've gone from bounce through the scriptures, and there is a lot more in here. You know, there's a lot on judgment, on things that are made of bronze. You know, what was Samson? You know, when he was fettered. You know, after he had gotten his hair, after he got his hair cut with old Delilah. You know, what happened with him? They hogtied him with bronze fetters. You know, brass fetters. You know. There's a lot in here on this, but the idea here for our sake this evening is that judgment on the cross was done, and it was the same representation of that burnt offering, that offering that was done there in the tabernacle as the judgment of the sins of the people. Just as Jesus Christ took all our sins upon himself. And all we but have to do is to look upon him or call upon him. Call upon the name of the Lord and you shall be saved. You know, you think about this. Don't you think if these serpents are biting you? Okay, think about that. Think about if you're a Israeli person and you're wandering around in the wilderness and you've kind of, you know, come against God and come against Moses and you've, you know, flapped your yapper and said things you shouldn't and all that. And so now you're out wandering around. Now these serpents are coming in. People are dying around you. And this is getting bad. we better go come clean, go talk to Moses about it, come clean on this. Moses, this is what happened. We did say this. We said this against you. We said this against God. Would you pray for on our behalf? You know, you're our intercessor. Will you do this? Absolutely. He prays. And so this is the plan, guys. We're going to stick this serpent out in the middle of the camp. It's just a bronze serpent, kind of wrapped around a post there. It's a meaningless nothing, in a sense, except it's not. Again, it's a statement of faith to look up upon that and receive the touch from God. What are we doing? We're doing the same thing. We're looking upon the cross by faith and receiving that from the Lord, that healing. You know, I don't think it ever changes. Sometimes in our Christian experiences, we've been believers a while, we kind of think maybe it's going to get different or something. It's going to get easier. But that challenge keeps coming out to us, that every step is that step of faith, to trust in the Lord, to believe on God, to rely upon Him. They're being shown to do something by faith, to step out by faith, to look upon that. Now, it doesn't make any sense to look upon a brass serpent out in the wilderness on a stick. It doesn't make any sense that that is going to bring healing. This is what you and I look like, though. Think with me. Just carry this thought just one more step with me. Think about what we look like. We're out here just everyday folks in the world. We've got problems. We've got issues. But we're looking to Jesus. We're looking to the cross for the touch from God, the guidance, the healing, whatever we need. We're looking to God. And people are looking at us going, "That's poor jokers, you know? That's too bad. They're just so lame, you know? Well, they got to have a crutch, I guess. They down another one. They stoke another one. They pop another one. They shoot another one. They just got to have a crutch, you know? They're just leaning on God, you know? They can't get through life, you know? Yeah, right. Okay, fair enough. Jesus Christ is my crutch. True. What's yours? Because everybody's leaning on something. Oh, I lean on my intellect. Neat. You know, some people that might get farther than others, but ultimately there's an end to it, you know? You think about that. You know, this is, and we look lame in the eyes of the world from their perspective, and yet by faith, when they see us looking to the Lord, and when they watch God at work, God will work things for good in your life, in my life. God works all things for good, those who love God and are the called according to His purposes. And so God will turn those things to good. Disaster or opportunity, you see? What is the situation for us? You know, we've got to look for opportunity in the Lord. And when we start doing that, all of a sudden we're looking up, and now people are going to start watching. Do you think if you got bit and there were six of you, and you got bit, and two other people all of a sudden got bit, and you looked up, and you said, "Look up! You've got to look on the brass serpent. Look up!" And all of a sudden, you're touched, and you're made well. Nope, I'm not doing it. I'm not going to do it. Think about this. That's what's going on around. It puts it in a good perspective. The healing touch, the antidote is there for sin. People are carrying this sin through life. And the antidote is there, the healing is there, the help is there. And you're saying, but see, we've got to be able to say that with the authority and the love of God, knowing that God has met our deepest need, and knowing that He continues to do that. You know, He continues to do that work in our life. It needs to be fresh in my life, in your life, in our lives. It needs to be a fresh thing that's happening. And we want to trust the Lord and look upon the Lord. I know it seems silly when you read this, but it's to show us the illustration that, man, those people, they're foolish not to look upon it. To me, it doesn't have to make a whole lot of sense. Although, we learned on Sunday morning, the gospel is very reasonable. But I understand in the world's viewpoint, it doesn't make a lot of sense, but that's where faith comes in, trust the Lord. That's why it's like it is. It's God's plan. We have to go outside of ourselves and rely on Him. I guarantee you, brothers and sisters, if you're looking at the cross and you're keeping your eyes on the cross, other people are watching that. And as they see that, you will have an impact. In, I think it's 1 Timothy, I think chapter 4, maybe midway through, it talks about, Paul tells Timothy, be an example. Let no one despise your youth, he says to Timothy, but be an example. And we've talked about what that word example means. That word example means to leave an impression, but it really is descriptive of metal work, and it's talking about repetitive hitting with a hammer to pound out, to leave an indentation, or to have an impact, and to therefore leave an impression. And I think that's what we're just kind of, maybe you feel like you're just a small ball peen hammer on the big thick piece of steel, and it may take a long time, but eventually people are going to see that, and it's going to have an impact because you're looking up at the cross. You're looking up at the cross. Yeah, I've got problems just like you. Yep, but I'm looking up at the cross. See, you and I have a hope. We're looking up at the cross. We're not looking at the problem and focused on the problem. That's not our role. We're to keep looking at the cross. Let's move on so we can get through this chapter tonight. If you'll turn with me to Numbers chapter 4, a little tiny thing here that we've got to look at because it's important. Chapter 4, verse 13. Okay, it's portable. And this is the only article that's got this kind of a covering that goes over it. It's the altar. So prior to them packing it up and moving it around, look at what goes on it. Also, they shall, in verse 13 of chapter 4 of Numbers, also they shall take away the ashes from the altar and spread a purple cloth over it. They shall put on its implements which they minister there, the fire pans, the forks, the shovels, the basins, and the utensils of the altar, and they shall spread on it a covering of badger skins and insert the poles. So they put all this stuff kind of together. They put this covering of purple cloth over it, and then the badger skins. The purple speaks what of the royalty. Jesus Christ and His royalty. He is the King. And He's also the sacrifice. This is speaking of the altar again. And it, before they move it around, they cover it. This is the only thing that's covered like this, in this way. Covered with this purple cloth. And then it's got the badger skin over it. And again, it's just like what we talked about out of Isaiah. They would look upon Him. There's nothing that they would desire of Him. We talked about the whole tabernacle's covered with badger skins. You know, you look at it, it's like, what's up? Look at these goofy nation of Israel. They're out in the middle of the desert, and they got this tent in the middle of the whole place, and you know, they're all camped around it, and it's got this, you know, badger skins all around. It's a common, everyday nothing, you know, no big deal. But man, for those who went inside the court and then into the tabernacle, man, they saw all the beauty of the presence of God, all the fine tapestry and the things that represent all the angelic beings woven through everything. You know, and the beauty that's in there. How cool, you know. Outside, that's not that big a deal. Jesus came and took, you know what? One of the things that we find about Jesus, there's nothing done of Him that's, we have any, you know, the pictures change with the times, you know. The old King James picture looks a little different than the surf guy, you know, picture. They're just trying to make it relevant for the time. But we really don't know exactly what He looked like. And really, quite frankly, He probably looked, as far as general appearance, very common. Sorry to disappoint you, but that's pretty much probably the truth. Now, guarantee, first interaction and the eyes as they look. No, there was something special about Him, I guarantee you that. But as far as just general appearance, He was just common. Blended in and was just common. That's radical when you think about it. But man, once you get to know Him, oh man, that's a whole nother story. Isn't that the one that we fall in love with, man? Who, man, humbled Himself and just took on the form of a bondservant, became a man, yet did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. And the Bible says, man, have that mind within you, Paul the Apostle said. Have that kind of a mind. Think that way, you know? Be of a humble spirit, you know? serving the Lord. So when they traveled, they covered it that way. And I think it's a great, again, great representation of Jesus Christ and what he's done for us and who he is and what even the altar is, what the altar represents as far as the cross, what it represents. The cross, the most gruesome way to die known to man. You know, just an awful, awful death. Public spectacle, taking my sin, your sin, our sin. He personally died for you and me because he loves us. You kind of go over some things and there's thought about, well, what held him to the cross, you know? Here on this, it had the horns that came up, you know, that held the sacrifice in. But what held him to the cross? Was it the nails? Maybe the straps that they put around there and then they nailed it. Were those what held him to the cross? You see, that's the thing. He could have called 10,000 angels. None of that stuff held him there. His love for you. His love for you personally. His love for me personally. That's what held him on the cross. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Because he loved you personally. And he wanted you to have fellowship with him and the Father. And to have life here on this earth, abundant and everlasting. He wants your life to have significance and meaning. Isn't that powerful thing? He loved us to the utmost, the very end. Verse 9, you should also make the court, so now we're at the courtyard, the court area, make the court of the tabernacle. For the south side there shall be hangings for the court made of fine woven linen, 100 cubits long for one side, so it's about 150 feet, and it's 20 pillars, and there are 20 sockets of bronze, and their hooks and the pillars and their bands and shall be of silver. Likewise, along the length of the north side shall be hangings 100 cubits long, with its 20 pillars, and there are 20 sockets of bronze, and there are hooks and the pillars and the bands of silver. And along the width of the court, the west side shall hang 50 cubits, so about 75 feet, and there are 10 pillars, and there are 10 sockets. Their width of the court on each side, 50 cubits. And the hangings on one side of the gate shall be 15 cubits, with their three pillars and their three sockets. And on the other side shall be hangings of 15 cubits, with their three pillars and their three sockets. For the gate of the court, there should be a screen 20 cubits long, woven of blue, purple, scarlet thread, fine woven linen, by the weaver, made by the weaver. It shall have four pillars and four sockets. Before we get too far into that, we've got this court, 150 feet, right, that goes around, 150 feet on each side, 75 feet, so it's 150. This is approximately. It depends on how you want to view a cubit. The common view is approximately 18 inches. Choose what you like, but it's approximately 150 feet by 75 feet. And that's rough. But then you've got this, this is the main area. Then you've got inside that, you've got the tabernacle, right? And then inside that, the tabernacle, you've got the holy place. And then you've got the Holy of Holies. So let's start at the Holy of Holies. What we have at the top, we're going to do the, let's look bird's eye view. We look down from the top. We've got this big court that goes around it. Now, when you're looking at it from the top, the court goes around it. Now, from the sides, you can only, you can't see it. It's too tall. It's about 7.5 feet tall. So you can't see in there, you know, really. You can't get in. You only have to, you can only go, what? You have to go through the door, the main entrance. You have to go through the entrance. There's only one way in. There's not 50 ways, there's not 15, there's not 10, there's not 2, there's one way in. That's great. So we're bird's eye view, we've got the Holy of Holies there at the top end, let's say. Let's consider that the top end, because that's where we started at. That's what we started making first, remember when we watched it, the design started with the mercy seat, the ark that was there. So that's the first point that you have. You come out, you've got the veil there. Right? And in front of the veil then, what do we have? We have the altar of incense. And we've got, we keep going out, now we've got the bronze altar, the sacrifice, and the laver, you know, where the wash basin, bronze wash basin, where, because if they get blood on their arm, you know, they had to wash off, you know. And then on either side, you had the lampstand, bird's eye view, left side, the lampstand, the menorah. Then on the right side, and this is right near the curtain, the Holy of Holies, the veil. On the right side there, then you had the table of showbread. And what does that look like to you? Yep. That's another coinkadink, isn't it? It's another coincidence. It's just, gosh, that's phenomenal. It's no accident with God. It forms just a perfect cross for us there inside the tabernacle. It's not a chance thing. It's not a guesstimate thing. Everything is pointing to the person of Jesus Christ. Even the design of it represents what it's supposed to for us. What a powerful thing. What a powerful thought for us to know and to embrace. You know, I know that sometimes people think that we touched on the five things that were there going into the holy place, the five rods there that were holding the curtain. And, you know, and we talked about that representing grace and the significance of that. Sometimes people think for us, because we talk a lot about grace, we talk about what it means, God's grace, and how important God's grace is to every one of us. Unmerited, undeserved favor that God, unmerited love, you know, it's unconditional love that he has for you and for me. Amazing how that is, you know, God's grace and his mercy. But a lot of times people think, well, you know, it's just cheap grace, you know, you guys don't do anything, you just act like it's just, you know, it's just been done for you, it's cheap. You know, I would make sure you challenge that when someone says that to you. Salvation is free. Salvation is free. Grace cost God something very dear. Salvation is free to you and I. Grace and that's been imparted to you, agreed. It may not cost you and I anything, but it cost. It's very pricey. It cost Jesus his life, his all. So that people saying, well, that's grace is just cheap and you just cheap. No, wait a minute. It's not cheap. It cost God something very, very pricey. You know, it's not something to be thrown around loosely in that sense. Now, you and I, free. Salvation's free. You know, we can't earn it. We can't. God has just given it. I think that is so awesome. He's just imparted his grace to us. Judgment, you know, of my sin. I'm no longer bound to any of that. I've been set free. Being set free is important to know and to appropriate that we've been set free by God's grace and his mercy. Because of that love that he has for you and for me. And it costs God something. It's not cheap. It's not, you know, to be marginalized or minimized, you know. It is pricey. Man, all we can do is say thank you to God for it. I can't earn it. I can't do anything to try and get more of it. God just pours it out freely upon us.
Hi, this is Pastor Jim. Thanks for listening today. And I know that some of you may have a tug on your heart that the Lord's just kind of speaking to you personally and that you'd like to give your life to Jesus or maybe like to give your life back to Jesus. Well, this is your opportunity. This is your time. Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me." Jesus desires to have fellowship, personal relationship with us. And so he stands at the door of our hearts and knocks. He loves us. He doesn't force entrance into our lives, but he wants you to open the door and invite him in. And so I want to give you an opportunity right now just to pray a simple prayer of faith. Again, it doesn't matter whether you're driving or you're sitting at home or you're out on a walk with your earbuds in, whatever it might be, but this is your opportunity to give your life and get back to Jesus or give it to Jesus that you might have everlasting life. He wants to spend all eternity with you and he wants you to have life abundant. So if you would just pray this simple prayer with me, Jesus, I want to invite you into my heart to be my personal Lord and Savior. I want to ask that you would forgive me of all of my sin. And I pray, Lord, that you would just take my sin and my old life and just give me a new life in you. I thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. I thank you for the new life that I have in you now. And I just ask that your Holy Spirit would come into my life and fill me to overflowing, that I might accomplish your purpose. Lord, that your will would be done now in and through my life. I give my life to you. I thank you for the new life I have. And I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you prayed and received the Lord into your heart today, we'd love to hear from you. You can contact us or another Bible teaching church in your area so you can be encouraged in your new journey. If you'd like more information about Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, simply visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. If you're in the Kansas City area and you'd like to join us for worship, the service times and directions can be found at calvarychapelkc.com. It's been great spending time with you today in God's Word, and we look forward to you joining us again next time on Living Fountains.